Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadyen, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode number 581, it is week two of our mentor series. So usually in the summer, I do a republishing of previous episodes called The Summer of Mentorship. This year, I had interacted with a new mom, and I realized, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I wish I could sit across from moms and tell them. I'm often interviewing other people, but I don't get to share my thoughts. And I know I wrote my Don't Mom Alone book, which has a lot of these thoughts in it, but I thought, you know what, maybe I will do a mentor series this summer with my thoughts on four different areas of mothering and include previous episodes, clips from previous episodes. So in today's episode, we are talking about connecting with your child. I have realized over the years how important this is and how often you would think you're a mom. Of course, you're connecting to your child. But I think with all the pressures of performance, of wanting to get motherhood right, of being a good mom, that we often miss the most important piece of parenting, which is that relationship, that connection. And so often, one of the biggest stressors in parenting, which is behavior management, just the overstimulation, the high chaos, especially if you have multiple kids, that some of the things I've learned from guests I've had on have helped me to see that when connection is happening, when relationship is there, the behaviors and the management becomes easier, and that trust relationship only leads to a more enjoyable overall experience and ultimately adults that you want to be around. So today we're going to focus in on some of my thoughts of things I wish someone would have told me sooner, some of my own personal challenges and lies I believed, and then I'm going to share a clip from a actual live conversation I had with Jim and Lynn Jackson of Connected Families. For those who are newer to the podcast, I'm a mom of four boys. When I started the show, they were ages 1 to 7, and now they are almost 21, down to 14. And when I did start the podcast, I just really struggled with feeling like they were out of control and it was my job to control them. I also felt this pressure that they had to behave perfectly in public, especially so that their behavior gave me an A+ as a mom. And that just increasing pressure of things I could not control outside of me, so many things, people, can't control people. And my unawareness of my own emotional state, my own thought processes, so much work that I had yet to do, just led to a lot of anxiety and stress and definitely impacted my ability to connect with my boys. And so I spent a lot of time working through that, through counseling, through 12-step with our church, through inner healing prayer that I've talked about on here. And I wrote a lot of it in my book, Don't Mom Alone. There's a whole chapter on anger and just getting curious about why you're experiencing these extreme emotions instead of thinking, I just got to stop them. And then there's a chapter on discipline, which is related to me just thinking bad behavior meant I needed to have consequences. And if I gave the right consequences, then the bad behavior would go away and my kids would look like good kids and I would look like a good parent. And the more people I interviewed and the more amazing frameworks and things I found, which I'm going to share with you today, the more calm I felt and the less pressure and the more grace I could bring to our family. So I wanted to share some of that with you today. But the chapter I wrote on that is called like Riding a Horse, because it starts with a story from family camp. We had an adults-only horseback riding morning where we were going to ride horses and then have this amazing breakfast. And we each got assigned our horses and we're sitting on them and all the horses are facing these ropes. And then my friend next to me her horse decides he does not like the horse on his other side, Tank. And so her horse, Red Baron, starts moving outside of the barn. And she's like, what is going on? We're supposed to stay in one spot. And she starts freaking out. And the wrangler says, you're not doing anything wrong. Just stay calm. Just point the reins back and gently pull Red Baron back to pointing and looking at the rope. And so she does that, and that lasts for about a minute. And then Red Baron once again starts backing up and wanting to leave the barn. And again, the wrangler tries to give her calm instruction and instruct her to stay calm and in control. And it made me think of parenting, how often we can on repeat be correcting and redirecting, and it starts to feel personal. It starts to feel like, is something wrong with me that this behavior keeps happening? And how important this wrangler's instruction was to just stay consistent, stay calm, be in control of yourself and your emotions, because the horse can feel if you start feeling anxious. And I was also thinking, like, my friend, she was probably projecting, if this is how the horse is acting in the barn, how will he be out on the trail? And will it get crazier? And I think as parents, we do that. We see a small behavior when they're little, and we project, and we're like, if he's doing this now, what's he going to be like as a teen or an adult? And we have to rein that in and recognize we're dealing with what's going on right now. Another story I tell in the book is about going to a speech pathology conference and getting to watch the horse whisperer work with a wild horse. And instead of using the traditional breaking method where you're just constantly kind of hurting the horse to get them to behave, he instead just stays with the horse and develops this relationship. And the horse whisperer actually had 47 different fostered youth in and out of his home. And he would use these same methods of building relationship and guiding gently. And it makes me think of the verse in Romans where we learn that it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance, that it is that relationship, that patient, calm, kind relationship that actually leads to the change we want to see. And in the chapter, I also share a quote from Heartfelt Discipline, which is by Clay Clarkson, Sally Clarkson's husband. He says, childhood is to be characterized by parents and children who are walking together on the path of life. You are a godly guide, directing your children in the way of wisdom and righteousness. You are training and instructing them about how to walk this path in order to find life as God intended it to be. You're also warning them about the dangers that would lead them away from the path and correcting them when they stray from the path. This fuller biblical picture of discipline reflects an ongoing relationship in which you are patiently and lovingly guiding your child. And I think this can be true when they're little, when they're older. This, just keep the wrangler's voice in your mind that you are doing a great job. Just keep turning the reins back to the direction of the path. When it feels like they're keep going towards the edge of the path or off the path, your job is not to keep that from happening. It's more to redirect and point them to the right way. And even if they get way off and it's years and years that they're off the path, that you just continue to do the work to stay consistent in your heart and your mind and your relationship with God, and trust that He is ultimately the one who guides them. He is ultimately the one who is pulling them towards Himself. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. Now, I also include in this chapter insights from my friends Jim and Lynn Jackson from Connected Families. They have written a great book on parenting called Discipline That Connects with Your Child's Heart. And I had them on the show multiple times, and then I did a live episode with them. And so I'm going to share a couple clips from that. First, where they talk through the framework, their Connected Families framework. You're going to hear about the four different layers of this pyramid, or what they call the magnet, because it can be a refrigerator magnet, and the four messages that go along with that. And then we're going to talk about do-overs, and then just some thoughts for parents of young kids that I think are really helpful and I wanted to include. And then I will be back here with some more thoughts. All right, here are Jim and Lynn. This is from 8 years ago when we did a Don't Mom Alone live event in Dallas. This episode is made possible thanks to sponsors like Hiya Health. If you are looking for a great way to get nutrition in your kids, if they are not so interested in eating the clean, good food that you want to eat, but you know that they need the vitamin and the nutrition, let me tell you about Hiya. Here's what's so great. Most children's vitamins contain up to 7 grams of sugar per serving and are stuffed with artificial additives and petroleum-based dyes, but not Hiya. They took the opposite approach. Zero sugar, zero gummy additives, just clean nutrition. And what's awesome is kids love them. They love the taste, the experience, all of it. Hiya has thoughtfully designed how they've made their product. They've worked alongside pediatricians and nutrition scientists to create these chewable multivitamins packed with 12 organic fruits and vegetables plus 15 essential vitamins and minerals in every chewable. Vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, all things that my doctor just told me I need to make sure I'm getting in my diet. They help support immune health and brain function and mood regulation and concentration and strong teeth and bone development. Everything is non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free. They have thought of it all. And it's designed for kids 2 and up. Hiya ships it straight to your door. I love that they send you these reusable glass bottles with stickers with your first order, and then they send you refills every month so you don't even have to think about it. One less thing on your parental mental load. Also, Hiya just launched something brand new. If your kids are active and growing, adding in a clean protein powder with added minerals designed just for kids may be exactly what they need. Hiya's new Kids Daily Growth Plus Protein is a total game changer. It's more than a protein shake. It's a purity awarded clean protein powder with added minerals and healthy fats that mixes right into water, smoothies, and more to support muscle development and cognition to fuel everything they've got going on. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya. Receive 50% off your first order on any of their products. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/DMA. This deal is not available on their regular website, so go to hiyahealth.com/DMA and get your kids the full body support they deserve.
These questions were so scary even to us.
So you don't have all the answers.
That we felt a little bit of a need to sort of give a preamble before you started asking.
Oh, I love that. Please do that.
Can we do that?
Yeah. Please.
So it sounded like a number of you have heard of us before, and that's cool, but maybe some of you haven't. But I worked with high-risk teens in the early 90s, and Lynn was an occupational therapist, and we had lots and lots of parents come to us on a regular basis saying, here's what's wrong, help me fix it. With a lot of intensity. And parents, you know, imagine all of the different kinds of things, anything from parents of 3-year-old kids whose kids, you know, don't want to eat their peas, to parents of teenagers who won't come home and who are using drugs and whose friends we don't like and who are stealing the car and so on, and everything in between. And parents are urgent. They have great intentions. They want what's best for their kids. And when they would come to us, we did everything we could to give them a quick answer because we knew this could be our only shot. Hmm. And we found that often we were disappointed with the answers that we gave because we just realized we missed some things. And B, we figured out pretty quickly that parents were often disappointed too. It's like, oh, some other crazy idea and we'll try that and it didn't work and they're on to the next thing. Here's the thing about parenting that we discovered a long time ago that we've tried to capture in this is that the process by which people become excellent parents across the board is pretty similar. Across cultures, across demographics, what it takes to be a great parent at the core level is basically what we've studied and described on this magnet. What that looks like for each of us, how do we grow a strong foundation of faith whereby I know who I am because of what Jesus did, and I'm walking to grow in my relationship with God, that's unique. And we each work then out of that foundation to do things to connect with our kids. What's connection? Connection is that stuff we do to make sure our kids know they're loved no matter what.
And they're enjoyed.
And the way that I connected with our kids, very different than how you connected with our kids.
As we're getting our value from Jesus, we're connecting well with our kids, then they're really open to our coaching, our building values and skills that's going to equip them for life and help them to walk in their calling. Just simple things of just practicing, you know, how to get along with their sibling or just doing, chores and just some of those things, but with an eye for you're built to do good things that God has created you for to do.
And the last part of the pyramid was what everybody came to us for. The top of it is about correction. People want help solving their problems. And these questions are largely correction-oriented. We've got this problem. How can you help us solve it? What Lynn and I learned early on, and we want to make sure is clear here tonight, we can't do our answers justice without looking through the lens of this framework that's on that magnet. And we've actually developed a saying in our ministry that the magnet says it all. If you want to learn more and dig deeper, we offer all sorts of resources. There's books on the table. We have online courses. We have, then we do the podcast with Heather and others. That, you know, as much as we can to equip you to be parents who build a strong foundation, who connect well with your kids, who coach them, and who correct them in love to help them remember four important things, and that's what's on the right side of the magnet. Because if all that we do doesn't communicate these four powerful messages to our kids about who they are, then we've somehow missed something. Our good intentions haven't landed on them. When we build a strong foundation, we're safe people. We're people of grace. We communicate to our kids and to those around us, you're safe with me because God's at work here. We communicate to our kids, you're loved no matter what you do, no matter how you behave. No matter what patches you come home with on your jeans or how you cut your hair or what you do with the milk when I pour it for you, you're loved no matter what. And we need to work as parents to make sure that our love comes alive, especially when we're disciplining our kids, that they don't lose sight of the fact that just because I behaved badly doesn't mean that mom or dad doesn't love me anymore.
And then we communicate, you're called and capable of using those gifts of yours for good things, not misbehavior, and capable of solving problems with your family members, and capable of making wise choices, and capable of learning and growing. That sense of we're learners, we're all capable of learning important things is important messages. And then the final message at the top of correction is about you are responsible for your actions to make right what you've made wrong. It's not about me just giving you this painful punishment that's going to stop you in your tracks and make sure you never do that again, but it's about holding you accountable to realize, wow, this is your life, your relationships. You get to make right what you've made wrong. And that builds a sense of personal responsibility in kids.
Oh, and one thing that I would say, too, that I loved in your coaching is the do-over.
Yeah.
It's a great idea that I've used with our boys. You mean you could talk about that?
No, I mean, I can think of many times when you, in particular, I think you're particularly good at this because you remember.
I need to do a lot of do-overs.
Well, you're proactive. You remember to actually go do it. And I've seen you actually realize you approached it in a way that you regretted, and you literally asked for a do-over, and you even made it a little bit silly, walking backwards into mm-hmm. type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then walk back in. And it's the humility that even comes with that approach that sets the stage for the reconnection.
Kids sense that humility.
Yeah, do y'all out here know, and for the benefit of those listening, what we're talking about when we say a parent do-over? So the do-over, and you know what you're talking about, Bruce, is the story that happened in my life. It's the one I often tell to Heather. Like, I realized, boy, I make a lot of mistakes. What am I going to do? Well, how about when I make the mistake, instead of just saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that again, and then go over here and feel bad about it, I just say, you know what, kids, I didn't like how I did that. I'm going to do a do-over. And so, you know, the prominent day before we ever even actually coined this idea and started teaching it, I just realized I needed to do a do-over. And I came in the house and I screamed at the kids because I was mostly stressed at work and hadn't done the thing that I talked about wanting to do earlier, just settle down on the way home and be ready to come home present for what's going on. And I came in and they're arguing and I, you know, what is wrong with you kids? You know I've had a hard, long day, and I had called earlier so they would. And so, you know, they should know, right, that dad needs peace and quiet when he gets home. They should just know. So I can't come home to this. This is not okay. And my oldest, Daniel.
Dad, you didn't connect first.
Exactly. There's Daniel. And I was like, oh, you're right. I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? Can I do a do-over? And they're like, sure, do a do-over. And then it's like I did the same thing, you know, just walk back. Close the door, sit in the garage. Lord, give me your wisdom for my kids, for goodness sakes. thank you for forgiving me. Help me to deal with them in that grace. And I walk in the door. Well, they're already calmed down because, you know, it's like, what's Dad up to here? This is weird, but it's kind of fun. And kids, I see you've been having a hard time here, and I've had a little bit of a hard day too. Do you want some help solving this, or could you quiet down, and if not, then maybe take it downstairs and solve it by yourselves, because I need a little peace and rest here today. Unless you need my help, let me know. No, Dad, we got it. It's fine. Thanks. And they laughed and giggled and solved their problem very easily. It was already solved, I think, by the time I got in the garage. But the power of the do-over, and we see this with parents all the time, like, I didn't like how I did that. Can I do it again? And there's, you know, there's brain science for why that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you physically experience the way you wished you had parented. And then you can celebrate at the end. That felt better to me. That feel better to you? Yeah. Thanks for letting me do that. Yep. High five. And then you end that whole interaction on a positive note. Whether, you know, and the more you model that, then the easier it gets to just invite your kids. Well, that didn't go so well. Do you want to try a do-over? You know, in a lighthearted way, you invite them after yep. you've modeled it a bunch. And it can just change the tone in a family and bring such grace into play, because it's like it oozes grace to say, we don't have to get it perfect the first time. And with our God, there are second chances, and we can celebrate yep. that.
We're thankful that this show is made possible because of sponsors like Branch Basics. Here's the deal. Maybe you're someone, you pay attention to what your family's eating or what's going on your skin or what's your environment. But do you pay attention to the ingredients in your cleaning products? When you do start to pay attention, you may realize that a lot of regular everyday cleaning products you find in your grocery store contain things linked to hormone disruption, skin sensitivity, respiratory irritation with repeated exposure, even when they are marketed to feel quote unquote safe or natural. And that's because U.S. companies aren't required to disclose every ingredient in those formulas. So even if it looks like they do, in generic words like fragrance can legally mask hundreds of harmful chemicals. So this is where Branch Basics comes in. Branch Basics is disrupting the cleaning space in a few intentional ways. One, they disclose all their ingredients. Everything is fragrance-free, and it's made with human-safe ingredients designed for everyday use across your home. It's also created by three women, moms themselves. They wanted something that they could actually trust in their home and around their families. What I love is that everything is made from plant and mineral-based ingredients. So, like I said, it's human-safe, fragrance-free, perfect for families, babies, kids, pets. I also love that this refill model makes it super easy to keep your home clean year-round. So once you run out, all you restock is the concentrate, because the bottles that you're mixing it in, you already have. So it tells you on the side of the bottle how much water to add and how much of the concentrate to add. And you can get it at Target, Amazon, branchbasics.com. So convenient. Like I said, Branch Basics is now available everywhere you shop, at Target, Target.com, Amazon, and of course, branchbasics.com. So tossing the toxins has never been more convenient. For anyone grabbing the premium starter kit, you can still get 15% off at branchbasics.com with our code DMA. The premium starter kit comes with the concentrate, refillable bottles for your surface cleaners, including all-purpose, bathroom, streak-free, foaming hand wash, and laundry. It comes with oxygen boost for stubborn stains in pots and pans, laundry, bathroom, and more. And the kit is a great way to kickstart your human-safe cleaning routine. Just use code DMA for 15% off the premier starter kit at branchbasics.com. After you purchase, when they ask where you heard about them, please make sure to mention our show.
Okay, so there are parents of young kids in the house. Raise your hand if you have kids in your house under the age of 5. Holy mackerel. The entire room just raised their hands.
Wow.
We need to talk about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's why there's so many questions. You told me there's a lot of questions about toddlers and preschoolers. I'm like, that's because they're listening and they need help. So the first one is, how do we balance having to discipline them and correct them so often, especially when they're nonverbal? How do I talk to them about heart issues when they're 2 and 3 years old without it going over their heads? What are some simple ways, simple statements to use? Y'all are like nodding your heads, yes.
Some of it is just to realize kids are going to make tons of mistakes, and we don't have to make such an issue over each thing. You know, we have a video of a mom, she recorded it for us, of her doing like a conflict resolution with a three-year-old or a two-year-old and a five-year-old. And it was just messy and it was disorganized and it was sort of like really quick. And then they just moved on. You know, we feel like we either have to make a big teachable moment or there has to be a big consequence. And it's like at this age, kids are experimenting a lot. We've even got a post that's, it's not defiance, it's science. You know, it's like, what happens?
And if I bite, we were talking about biters, and I was like, I think some of my kids, it was like, well, he didn't do it when I asked him. So maybe if I bite him, he'll give me the thing I want. Well, I mean, right. I think they're experimenting with biting. I didn't bite my kids. They didn't learn it from me biting them.
It was Bruce.
It was Bruce biting.
Bruce, it was biting.
He did bite a lot of kids. But.
When daddy bites, you know he's serious.
But I think that's really, I mean, you can take that identity thing, that foundational layer, and say there's something wrong with me as a mom because my kid's biting or my kid hit that kid. And it's like the scarlet letter of preschool is biting. I mean, really.
Right, right.
So.
I actually
there's mom shaming.
The scarlet B.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually
they broke the skin.
I actually coached a mom of a young child about biting, if you want a specific thing about that. And part of it, again, is, you know, start with the foundation. What am I believing about this? Oh, I have a child that's going to be, you know, a bully when they grow up. And we just extrapolate it into awful things in our mind. And then it becomes so emotionally loaded versus this is a child that does not have enough verbal skills yet to express how upset they are. And they biting is calming to the nervous system, so that's another piece of it. And it gets a big reaction. And there's all sorts of reasons why kids bite. And so, you know, just simply, there was one child that I was coaching parents, and they changed preschools to where a preschool where the child was just sitting watching TV all the time to a preschool that was very active, and the biting stopped. Because the child was trying to meet a big muscle need. So sometimes it's about that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just about, how can I encourage my child? And I, you know, you see from across the room, the teeth flash. Mm-hmm. And they go into that pose and you know it's coming. And you go, wow, you're really mad. You know, you're keeping kids safe. So let's talk about how mad you are. And they're like, huh? You know, or just a child that tends to hit. If you can see they're getting mad, you know, to say, you're so mad, but you've got gentle, safe hands. That's so awesome. Let's talk about how to do respectful anger.
And you kind of show them, because I'm thinking even respectful anger, do they know what that word?
Just even, you know, keep kids safe while you're angry.
Yeah. We had hands are not for hitting, teeth are not for biting. We read those so many times. Oh my gosh, still need to read them. I think we need to pull those out again. I mean, because it's a training when they're little too.
Right.
I think I liked what you said, like you're not projecting out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so hard when they're your first and you don't know that stages are stages.
Right.
They feel like forever.
Yeah.
They will never get out of the whiny stage. They will never get out. I mean, if you've watched Caillou, that's the whiny stage. That's the four-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
That is a four-year-old. And you just, they get out of it, they grow out of it. But in the moment, you are just so infuriated and constantly correcting the whining.
Yeah, and if we think in terms of kids come into conflict with big aggressive impulses because they don't have the verbal skills to support it. And if we try to squash the aggression or we focus on how aggressive the child is, it keeps them stuck in that. But if we realize they need more verbal skills. And so to put a strong emphasis on teaching feelings words and teaching verbal skills and teaching simple scripts that they can use and putting those words in their mouth when you see from across the room that the child is raising the fist and you can go, you didn't like that they took your truck. Now that's going to get my attention. But if from across the room I yell, stop, don't hit, it's like, you don't care about me, Mom.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hit.
Yeah.
And so it's that quick empathy, putting words in their mouth. And then maybe next time they'll be a little closer to saying, I didn't like that you took my truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tend, I think especially with younger kids, to view that what they're doing is either all bad or all good. That's all bad, so I got to stop it right now and discipline it. Well, what is discipline, first of all? Discipline is teaching. It's engaging with authority to teach.
Discipleship.
At the core, it's about discipleship, right? And so when, you know, a three-year-old is biting, we think to ourselves, that is all bad. We need to make that stop. We need to do something that causes that child to stop when I say stop immediately. Now, first of all, I've always struggled with this idea of immediate obedience because I myself am not immediately obedient much of the time. When I read the word, sometimes it takes a while for the word to seep in and for me to obey it. I still haven't got it. It's still a struggle. I ebb and I flow. So if I haven't got immediate obedience figured out, who am I to demand it of a three-year-old who may not even be, by the way, disobeying? They may be doing the best they know how to do to communicate a legitimate need that they've got. So when I view things as all bad, I tend to miss the fact that there might be something behind the biting that's a part of that that is like, wow, you have big muscle needs. God built you with big muscle needs, and I want to do some work to figure out how to help you get those big muscle needs met so that you don't feel like you have to bite in order to get them met anymore. And we've heard parent after parent after parent around that issue. You know, like put big motor stuff in the basement and make sure kids are getting big, deep back rubs on a regular basis from teachers or from whoever's
taking care of them. Big motor stuff, you think like trampolines and...
Mm-hmm. Trampolines and, yeah. You know, all those different things. Get the sensory stuff taken care of. But, you know, as kids start to grow, it's like, so the teenager... Bruce, could you be a... Do you have any familiarity at all with kids that are in the 10 to 12-year-old range who lip off at their parents?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Three. So I would love to do a little experiment with this if I could. Okay. Bruce, I'm going to be dad. I've asked you to clean up the dishes. You've got some reason for why you don't think that's a good idea that you haven't let me know about. And I come in and I discover that the dishes aren't done. And I say to you, Bruce, the dishes aren't done. What is wrong with you? Didn't you listen to me this time? Can't you ever get this right? What are you going to say to me?
Well, it'll start with some sort of excuse.
So do it.
Okay, just
say
do it.
You are the person.
Here, let's play it out. We're going to play
you are the
Bruce,
you
get
are,
in here and do the
this
dishes.
This just happened. Like,
you may not leave these dishes here again. Bruce.
I had to get homework done first. I had to go to the bathroom.
Bruce, you were neither doing homework nor in the bathroom just now.
That's true. This is true.
So stop your lollygagging and clean up those dishes.
Can I check my phone first?
Bruce, this is not okay. You need to stop everything you're doing and put those dishes down or you're grounded from your phone.
Come on, Bruce. Sass him.
Sass him. I don't know. Well, you're imagining the one that doesn't sass. You're imagining the one that...
Because he's the one who actually does dishes.
Yeah, he's the one that does...
I don't trust the other
that.
One with dishes.
The one that doesn't sass.
He's the excuser, but you got to come up with the one who's like, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just generally just grunting. I mean...
like a lot of sounds.
Let's hear something. Like, go for it.
I had to change kids, for sure.
Okay, change kids.
Make your sounds. Do it.
Bruce, stop it. That is not okay, and you know it.
I stand up and I just stomp upstairs.
This is legit. This happens.
And then I look at Heather and say, Heather,
disappear.
What are we going to do with this kid?
I don't know. And he slams the
if
door.
This
upstairs.
Goes on. This is going to lead to big trouble somewhere down the line.
I'm usually the
one
that
projects.
He needs
to learn to listen right now, right? Like, how many of you relate to that?
Oh, good. It's not
and,
just
and
us.
We've repeated these words. It's because I see what Bruce is doing as all bad. Well, guess what? Bruce opened the dishwasher. He got two or three coffee cups in there, and then he left a stack of dishes. What is it that keeps me, you, from as parents, from saying to Bruce, hey, Bruce, you got a good start on the dishes, buddy. Come on back in here, and let's work on them together for a bit. It seems it's easy for you to get distracted sometimes, just like it is for me when I'm doing stuff at work. What is it that keeps us from doing that as a parent? It's this binary way of thinking. What Bruce did is all bad. Well, it's not all bad. It's not good. It's not all good, for sure. But almost all of, like, we view behavior as either all bad or all good. When it's good, we're in the grocery store, our kids are behaving, we're, I don't know, you're a great dad. And then when they start to act bad, it's like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't believe what they did in the grocery store today, and it was terrible, it was the worst ever, and I'm never bringing them to the grocery store again.
It's an exact quote from me.
But you know, to use the very first question where you kind of address just the calmness and coming at them is, I think the only times it actually does work is if I, in that situation, if I get on my knee and I get almost even below their level, mm-hmm. and I speak calmly, I make sure I have their attention, you know, yeah. respectful way. It's actually the only time I ever can actually think where you actually get to an outcome in a reasonable period of time with less emotional baggage.
So when we come at our kids with, this is all bad, it puts them on the defensive. It puts us on the defensive. It's a judgment that's not true. It's actually a lie. And when we can sort of let go of that and go, okay, my son is struggling with this. Clearly, I haven't given instructions that have been helpful to him. Maybe he's discouraged. What if I do literally get lower than him and say, hey, Bruce, come here. Look at, I noticed you got a good start. How can I help you get a few more dishes in this time? What are your ideas about that, buddy? Instead of having to, like, is that discipline? That's discipline. That's teaching. That's teaching a child in the way he should go so that when he's old, he won't depart from it. The notion that discipline has to be this pain infliction against all of the all bad things that my child does, believing that somehow the pain infliction is going to lead and motivate that child to want to somehow magically do good that they haven't yet been taught to do, is simply fallacious. It's not true. It doesn't, nor should it work. It might work to get our kids scared of us so that they do what we want them to do because they're scared, not because they think it's good or right for them to do it. And so that's where we have to be really careful about what do I do to make sure my kids obey me right away? It's good for them to obey us right away from time to time. And we need to bring out the mama and papa bear in us on rare occasion. So that when we do, they trust that we mean business this time and that it's because there's something really serious at stake here. But if my default is to get big and serious and Papa Bearish over a toy in the kitchen, and then I expect my child about a toy in the kitchen, are you kidding me? Dad acted like that about a toy in the kitchen? I can't take him seriously. And now I'm over here and he's about to run into the street in front of oncoming cars and I do that thing that I did in the kitchen and it's like, I don't trust Dad because he brings out Big Papa Bear for no reason and then he runs into the street. And then I think, oh my goodness, why did this happen? Well, it happens because kids don't trust us implicitly because we're their parents. They trust us because we earn their trust over time. And if the way that we engage with their misbehavior isn't at a level that's you know, feels like we're joining them and helping them learn, but controlling them, then they're not going to trust us. So we have to be careful about that. I'll get off my soapbox.
I think it's great. There was a question. I know that toddler parents are thinking, and the street example fits in with that.
Right.
Sometimes you just need immediate compliance, and you can't. You just need to get in a car real quick or stop them before someone gets hurt or... safety-wise.
Right.
So how do you get their attention to understand you mean business without disrupting that connection? Or
yeah, so some of it, like Jim said, is you are very careful about when you do that. But the other thing is you can go in with big connective energy. I think another example on the list was like when kids are going to, they're getting out of control and when kids are going to hurt each other. We don't have to be mean to be strong. You know, you can rush in and go, stop it, you guys, or, you know, start calm, stop it, stop it, stop it, you know, and you're still in the same place. But you can go running in really confident, hey, you guys, let's get a hug here, because, well, you know, you're going to hurt each other, aren't you? Wow, this is really fun, but I'm worried for you, and I love you, and I don't want you to get hurt. Who wants to get hurt here, huh? Anybody want to get hurt? You know, you just, you go charging in with lots of big, loud, loving energy, and they trust you. So I was working on this principle with a coaching client, and talking about big connective energy, and they got home from the session and the kids were out of control with the sitter and they just went in, wow, this is really fun, isn't it? You know, it's like you have to kind of fly near them when they're up, you know, on the stratosphere like this, and then you gradually bring them down for a landing versus standing, you know, on the ground and going, kids, children. So that's
I think that's very wise.
Yeah. Specifically about safety, we do have a blog post. I think it was written from a question of you.
Oh, yeah. A long time ago. I was at BSF right over here, yep. And a child of mine just took off. And yep. I kept saying, you have to stop, stop. And I kept saying it, and he just kept going.
Right. So we addressed that in a blog post.
Okay. Do you want me? I'll link to it in the show notes when I make
sure.
them. Okay.
It's about safety.
Okay, and if you want to listen to more of that conversation, we've linked to it in the show notes, and I'll tell you the next topic we cover is strong-willed kids. And then they came back for a second night when we did the live event, and we answered more questions. So if you enjoyed Jim and Lynn, definitely go check out those episodes from 8 years ago. I also wanted to say that we've put the graphic of their framework in the show notes since you know they went through it so well, but if you are a visual person and you want to see that foundation and that sends the message you are safe, and then the connection that you are loved, and then the coaching that you are capable, and the correction that you are responsible. If you want to see that laid out, I think for myself, for sure, the more I worked on what was going on in me, the safer I became. The more I recognized my dysregulation, my own inner messages. There's going to be an episode this fall with Dr. Allison Cook that talks about being a secure soul. And I think it's going to be really important for moms, no matter what age your kids are, to think about, am I going back to God for true safety, for my own attachment spiritually to the divine, so that I can then offer it to others? That next layer, that connection piece, I think I struggled so much with the behavior aspect, like I mentioned at the beginning, and my own need for them to behave so I looked good, that I missed a lot of connection opportunities and communicating you're loved no matter how you perform or behave. I think that you are capable. In my mind, I thought I was being a good mom by overdoing for them. But like David Thomas and Sissy Goff in their most recent episode shared, it's when we give kids tasks and things that shows they are capable, they actually build resiliency and problem solving. And I think I sabotaged some of that. And some of my boys would not take my help. You know, they didn't want me to step in, which actually helped them develop that resiliency. And then that you are responsible. I love that Jim and Lynn's framework is not just about connection and grace, but it is about that we have to help our kids grasp that our actions have consequences, they impact other relationships, and we need to repair them. And so anyway, I think that this whole message I want to share is the concept of connection before correction, that with the horses, breaking a horse produces fear. Building trust produces partnership. And so many of us unknowingly parent like we're trying to break a wild horse. We want immediate obedience because we're exhausted. But God doesn't parent us that way. Again, like I said, Romans tells us it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. That doesn't mean there aren't boundaries. It means that relationship comes first. And so maybe this week, the invitation isn't to become a better disciplinarian. Maybe it's simply to ask before every correction, how can I connect before I correct? And I'll tell you one other quote-unquote trick that I learned along the way that was super helpful in parenting my boys. We called it mommy time. You can call it whatever you want. With four young kids, it was hard for me to get that one-on-one time and attention. And so in the middle of the morning, and then again after nap time, we would draw names and we would choose who, so that was who would go first, second, third. I think we did it most often when Knox was a baby. And they would each get 10 minutes of my undivided attention to choose whatever activity they wanted to do. And I would build it up. Oh my goodness, I can't wait. What are we going to do for mommy time? And then afterwards, oh, I loved playing paper airplanes with you during mommy time or playing Uno. I can't wait. What are we going to do next during mommy time? And just like really emphasizing that time of connection. And it helped the rest of the day go more smoothly. So those are my little tips and tricks. I even found one summer with like preteens. We went back to mommy time because I was noticing it was like preteens and like late elementary that it was just a lot of group management and not a lot of one-on-one time. And so we did it again and it was great. Like they got my undivided attention. And again, they're young enough that they still want it. And I just found that it improved the whole way the summer went. So I hope all of this is helpful to you. And thank you for joining me. Definitely join me next week. We'll do another week of mentoring, Coffee with Heather. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.